You are listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host, and I'm thrilled with today's episode guests who are pastors and serving across the state, as well as a BGCO official. I'm talking about Mike Hand, who serves as partnership mission strategist for the BGCO. Mike, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Well, Brian, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be at the BGCO.
Well, for those who are unfamiliar with your new role, talk about what you do with the BGCO and your charge.
I am the partnership mission strategist for the BGCO. Sam Porter has done that role for many, many years, and along with disaster relief. And then I came on March the 1st and took that little bit off of him so he could spend more time with disaster relief. And so I work with all of our BGCO churches, 1,800-plus churches, helping to get them pointed not only to our three partnerships that we're going to talk about this morning, but to missions in general. I spent 10 years in a similar role with the International Mission Board, flew 1,200,000 miles in the western half of the United States helping churches to get connected to the mission field. And so I do a similar role with the Baptist General Convention and get to sleep in my bed every night. So that's a good thing.
Well, we're glad the Lord has brought you here. Now, in the July 21st issue of the Baptist Messenger, you had an article that really summarized the three partnerships we'll be talking about today. And your piece was called Who We Are, Not What We Do. And you really focused on that great commission and that calling. And what is the philosophy and approach and importance of partnership missions?
You know, I appreciate the years that I spent with the International Mission Board. It was a wonderful experience, and God did some great things. But one of the things that I heard early on in my days with the IMB was Dr. Jerry Rankin, former president of the IMB, who made the statement that it's not the responsibility of the International Mission Board to do missions on behalf of Southern Baptists. And then he continued to say the Great Commission wasn't given to a board or an agency, but was given to the church. And so, you know, that is so true. You know, the Great Commission was given to us, those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We were given that command to take the gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It just so happens that we live right now today in a society, in a world that the population has never been any larger than what it is right now, and lostness has never been any greater than what it is right now. We have over 7 billion people that live on this planet, of which approximately 2 billion have little to no access to the gospel whatsoever. And so, you know, while the IMB and other mission agencies may be large in number, well, the IMB, for instance, you know, 4,000-plus missionaries. Well, 4,000-plus missionaries don't even hardly ripple the water of lostness when you think of 2 billion. If you just set out this afternoon after lunch to count to 1 billion, just one number per second until you get there, you know, just one, two, three, and just say, well, you know, I'm gonna count to 1 billion today. Well, before you get started, pull your calculator out and figure 60 seconds to the minute, 60 minutes to the hour, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days of the year, and you'll soon realize with that calculator that it's going to take you just slightly less than 32 years to count to 1 billion if you never stopped one number per second. And we have over twice that many that have no access to the gospel. And when you realize that the Great Commission was not given to a board or an agency, but was given to each one of us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, well, you take that, 4,000 missionaries can't hardly ripple the water of lostness with 2 billion, but you take the millions and millions of believers that there are in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we would take missions to heart and realize that God has commanded us to do that, my, what a difference we could make in taking the gospel to those 2 billion people.
That really puts a point to it about the lostness and need, and I want to shift the conversation to talk with people and leaders who have gone, who have taken the gospel, and specifically want to begin by focusing on the BGCO partnership in Guerrero, Mexico. And to do that, I'm pleased to be joined with Pastor Dave Bryan, who serves at Chisholm Heights Baptist Church in Mustang. Pastor Dave, thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be here today.
Now, this is our long-standing partnership, more than 10 years, and your church has been involved for a number of years. Talk about what that's been like, how you got involved, what you've seen. Just talk about that for a moment.
It was probably about 19 years ago that a man by the name of Jim Blackwell came and spoke at our church, invited us to go on a trip with another church in Oklahoma, Waterloo Road Baptist Church, and to be a part of their mission trip down there. And I went and my staff went and just fell in love. And over the years, that has just become a part of the DNA of our church, our relationships with Mexico, with the people in Guerrero, the churches, the seminary that is there, has just been a significant part of how we do church and how we see ourselves and how we respond to the world and hopefully fulfill the Great Commission through that.
That is awesome. Now, people hear Mexico and they might think of a challenging place or a dangerous place, but what are some things you've seen God do in your trips there and among there? What are the types of things that have blessed your heart?
There have been so many different areas that we've seen God's hand. And yes, it is a dangerous place. There are bad people that live there, just like there are bad people that live everywhere. But as everyone would agree, if you're where the Lord wants you to be, you're in the safest place in the world. God has taken us there to do medical missions, and we have seen people with some pretty rough medical issues that at least we've been able to address and help a little bit and give a little bit of hope to on a very physical level. And as many have waited in line to see our doctor, someone locally has been sharing the gospel with them. And so they might have received a little bit of advice physically, but spiritually they've been reborn just in those couple hours. We have been able to do some sports clinics, basketball, and some other things that have attracted young people. We've done vacation Bible school and seen some pretty amazing things happen in kids' lives and in churches' lives as we help with resources and a smile and help corral the kids as the church works with the individuals there. We have worked with individual churches in preaching clinics and in revivals. A big part of our ministry, though, has been in the seminary. The little Bible school there from our standards runs 30 or 40 students. They're online now, and they have extension programs. So they're one of the largest seminaries in Latin America as far as a Baptist seminary is concerned. And we get the privilege to partner with them. And as a church goes and works with a group of churches in the mountains of Guerrero, as they work on the beach, as they work in the other areas of that very, very poor state, more than likely they're going to be working with a pastor who is trained at that seminary. So we might be there for a week, but we're investing in the lives of men like Aldonias, men like Jorge, men like Wilbur, other men who have devoted their lives to sharing the gospel in that place. And they are the ones that we are able to equip and invest in. And their presence stays there 51 weeks that we're not there. And that has been, for our church anyway, one of the joys of being able to see an extended work take place that's far more than what we could accomplish just in a few days that we might visit there.
That's awesome. Well, we applaud you for leading out in so many ways, for you yourself going and reaching into this part of Mexico. To think geographically about our neighbors to the south, Mexico has, 31 states? This is a state that has cities like Acapulco and Ixtapa, cities that are, very scenic, but the lostness certainly is great. And for you to do these different efforts and to take the gospel is just awesome. I know anyone who might be interested in that could connect with Mike Hand here at the BGCO. And Dave, you're here. You've come back in one piece. I know you went into the parts of Mexico that some would say would be dangerous, but the Lord has really had a hand on you and really am blessed to hear about the work. And you've got a trip coming up?
We're going to be heading in October this year. Normally we go in July, but it was time for us to maybe change things a little bit, keep it fresh. So yeah, we'll be going in October and working with a local pastor there at a senior adult center, starting a new church in the Zihuatanejo area, and working with the seminary and bringing a doctor for a medical mission in different small communities.
Awesome. Well, shifting our attention from the neighbors to the south to Europe, the BGCO has forged a new partnership with the Baltic Union of Churches in Latvia. To talk about that, I'm pleased to be joined with Stephen Earp, who is lead pastor at Elevate Church in Moore. Stephen, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much. I'm just super honored to be sitting at this table with these guys.
Now, did you ever think you would be the Latvia expert?
I never thought that. As a matter of fact, I almost knew nothing about Latvia until I heard a little bit about it from Dr. Jordan and then met with some of the Latvian Baptist leaders earlier this year. So I've gotten a crash course. Our church is only about 5 years old. This is the first time we've partnered with with individual churches in other countries. So we're very excited. We're ramping up, making plans, and we have our first. I went on a vision trip in May, but we have a return trip planned in September. We hope to send a couple of groups a year.
That's awesome, Stephen. Now, when you went, tell us what you saw and maybe what spiritual climate you saw and the opportunities you see.
Yeah. So, first of all, Latvia is an incredibly beautiful country, not just the landscape, but also the hearts of the people there, and rich history. And if any of our listeners know much about Eastern Europe, it was Soviet-occupied for a number of years, a number of generations. And so when we were there, we listened intently, hearing stories of senior saints who talked about midnight prayer meetings in the woods when church services were illegal during Soviet occupation. We listened to even some middle-aged Christians that talked about how their parents were fined for teaching them the gospel in the early 80s even. So this is a country that's had a lot of difficulty and a lot of persecution with respect to their faith. In 1991, things started to change in Latvia as they regained their independence. So in large part, a lot of the beautiful Latvian culture and art and music has returned, but there's still significant evidence of the former Soviets' anti-religious policies there. And so currently, the Evangelical Church in Latvia exists as a small but very committed remnant. There are only about 2 million people that live in Latvia. The strongest evangelical group there is the Baptist, and there are only 80 Baptist churches in the entire country. So just consider that as the strongest evangelical presence. So the people there are generally open to spirituality, but very few of them understand the gospel of Jesus. It's definitely a post-Christian area. I'm convinced that Latvia is ripe for Oklahoma churches to partner with Latvian churches in spreading the gospel. We found a lot of young, vibrant followers of Jesus who want to see their communities transformed. They want to see their homeland reached for Jesus. They're gifted leaders there. They have strong strategies for evangelism and church planting. So it's the kind of thing where we saw that we could come alongside some leaders that are already there, already growing, already developing, and just support them in their already fruitful efforts. They're there. They're praying for fresh ideas, for breakthrough. And honestly, they're praying for godly churches like mine or yours to come alongside them and help them partner in the gospel.
Wow, that's powerful. And I love what you said about they're already doing the work, and this will only accelerate. And I think with each one of our partnerships, there's a spirit of going and willingness already happening there. And I know Dave experienced that with Guerrero and Stephen in Latvia. I do want to talk about the third partnership, which is in North America. Our neighbors to the north, Edmonton, Canada, and to do that, I want to welcome Danny Ringer, who is Director of Missions, Beckham Mills Association. Thanks, Brother Danny, for being with us.
So honored to be with these guys. And just to talk about Edmonton and Canada, and it's one of those things that as an Oklahoman, I mentioned to one of my firefighter friends in Elk City back in April when I went on a Catch the Vision tour to Edmonton, and I said, hey, listen, I'm going to be gone next week. Put me on the board, and just so you know. And this fireman looked at me, and with all serious, he said, Canada, it's like America's attic. It's cold up there. There's some kind of cool stuff, but you don't think about it very often. And he was right on task, because honestly, until I became a NAM board member and they assigned me to Canada, I had never thought about Canada in my life. And then with Edmonton, I had never really thought about Edmonton other than the Edmonton Oilers hockey team. And so in reality, I had never thought about the lostness of Canada. And in Canada, there's one, in Edmonton, Canada specifically, there's 1.2 million people. Now, let me put this in reality. The Canadian National Baptist Association, which is the Southern Baptist of Canada, they have one Baptist church in Edmonton for approximately over 75,000 people. That's just amazing. The other thing that was really interesting to me was going into Canada that I didn't have to learn a language. It wasn't like going to China or Africa or Mexico or even Europe. They spoke English. You went into a restaurant, they spoke English. Even though they have a large group, 78% Caucasian, 16% Asian, 3% African Canadian, and only 1% Hispanic, everyone spoke English. Now, French, of course, is the language of Canada, and several spoke French. But the thing that also was amazing to me is as we began to witness and share Christ with several people, they were very kind and they were very gracious, but they honestly did not care about spiritual things. They were the type of people who thought that if you were religious, that you were really pretty uneducated and that you were kind of using your relationship with God or your religion as a crutch. And so therefore, they were gracious and kind, but they didn't want to really get engaged into a spiritual conversation. Many of them, though, had grown up in, say, a Catholic church or some other church, but they had quit going. And in the course of conversation, they would talk about good works and not about their personal relationship with Christ. The other thing that struck me about Canada was just the fact that how no one really wants to go to Edmonton. Even on my committee with NAM, no one chose Edmonton. And then when they have Gen Sin or when they have World Changers, they've never been picked hardly at all for people to go. No one's ever picked Edmonton for World Changers, ever. They were left out. And then Gen Sin has very few students. We met one young man from Tennessee who was just, Mike was with me, and it was just outstanding. This young man was great, but he was the only Gen Sin person who went to Canada. And so we need to really pray that people would have a heart for Edmonton. They want to seem to go to Vancouver, and they want to seem to go to Quebec and Toronto and even Calgary. But Edmonton is really left out. And I'll tell you something else. As I flew into Edmonton, I looked out the plane window and I thought, man, I could be flying into the Elk City Airport. It looks like Western Oklahoma, which I love. And it was just beautiful. And then once we got there and we were had our boots on the ground, I had a privilege of meeting Brian Garcia. Brian Garcia, at 19 years old, converted to Christianity from being a Jehovah's Witness. And he wrote a book, Can I Get a Witness? And now he's 31 years old. He's a church planner, and he is reaching people for Christ in Edmonton. And I met Dennis Milne, who is a graduate of Oklahoma Baptist University. And bless his heart, he goes into this huge recreation area that has a hockey field. It has two hockey arenas, and it has a large basketball arena, and it has an indoor water park, and it has an indoor swimming pool, and it has all these weightlifting and exercise devices and game room for your children, because the wintertime is so harsh in Edmonton. They have these large recreation areas for people to come to exercise and participate. And he has a little bitty hallway and one classroom that they use for their church plant. And it broke my heart when I think about our beautiful churches, and some of them have just a few people in, but he has about 12 to 24 people in this little hallway and classroom. I thought about Jason Shine, who works with students at the University of Alberta. And Jason, he's a cook, and he has this incredible personality. And Jason is making a community garden. And so he's inviting people from the community and the city of Edmonton got on board with him and said, hey, listen, we'd love for you to do this community garden. And so he's reaching people through the community garden. He's reaching college students. But I'm just going to tell you, Brian, what really broke my heart was Caleb Warku. Caleb is the church planter for the Church of the Generation for Christ, which is an Ethiopian church. And he pays $250 a month to rent a foyer. And at first when he showed it to us, I was really humbled. And then he took us downstairs to a fellowship hall for the church, and there was a simple white cabinet over against the wall, and it had a lock on it. And this was a cabinet that they stored all their supplies in. And it was at that moment I went, man, $250, what church couldn't sponsor him? What church couldn't sponsor him and not even miss the $250? And so I began to realize, after having a personal relationship with these church planters, the great need of Edmonton. And we literally left the plane at Will Rogers at 9:30 in the morning and arrived at 3:30 in the afternoon. It is a very quick flight. Now, you can drive there in about 27 hours, but you can also fly there and be there within 6 hours. So it was a real blessing, Brian.
Wow. Powerful. And gentlemen, each of you have very busy schedules with a lot of responsibilities. And to think of how you would turn aside and go on these short-term missions and keep this as a matter of prayer for your circle of influence, it's awesome. Thank you for sharing those thoughts. You know, Mike, whether it be Mexico or Latvia or Edmonton, Canada, how could people listening, a lay person or a pastor, get plugged in best, and what would that look like?
You know, the easiest way, the quickest way would be to simply contact me. Contact me at mhand, that's H-A-N-D, mhand@bgco.org. And let's begin that conversation by phone, and ultimately I'm going to drive to wherever you are, and we're going to sit down face-to-face with you or with your missions team, with your church, and we're going to strategize and talk about what that could look like and how to get started. You know, I think Scripture is very clear that that God gives us, you know, the equation for His equation for the gospel. Yeah, you know, I was never much of a math student. I mean, you know, A plus B equals C. I mean, who cares about that? Where does that get you in life? But I soon learned as a believer that God's equation for the gospel is very simple, very easy to understand, and that's simply God's command plus our obedience to that command equals the salvation of the lost. And so I would love to have an opportunity with Oklahoma Baptist. You know, I spend one day a week in the office here, and the rest of the time I'm out and around the state, cities and state, talking with pastors and missions teams, helping them to catch that vision of what they can do. You know, we have a statement here that it's not the size of the church that makes a difference. It's the size of the heart of the church that makes the difference. And it ought to be exciting to people to realize that, you know, you can make a difference. It's the size of the heart that helps you to do that. But you can make a difference on not only here, but on the other side of the world.
Amen. Pastor Dave?
Brian, you mentioned thanks for, you know, us making a sacrifice as pastors or leaders to be able to go to someplace. I must confess, it really has a very personal, pragmatic application for me. I've found when my church is involved in missions, they're an easier church to pastor. After spending a week down sitting in a dirt floor playing with kids as someone tries to preach, when they have endured the heat and the language difference and yet seen God's work and seen His Spirit take over someone's life and lead to a glorious new birth, they come home and all of a sudden, they're really not concerned about how far away they have to park from the front door. Missions has, the hands-on involvement in missions has changed our congregation much more to the better.
Amen. Well said. Well said. Well, on that note, I want to thank each one of you again for coming on the podcast, for talking just a little bit about what the Lord has done in your life, in your congregation, in your ministry. Again, we've been talking to Mike Hand, who serves as Partnership Mission Strategist, to Pastor Dave Bryan, Pastor Stephen Earp, and DOM Danny Ringer. Gentlemen, I look up to you, I thank you, and thank you for your time today. For more information, go to bgco.org or call the Baptist Building at 405-942-3800 or email Mike Hand at mhand@bgco.org. Thank you again for listening to Messenger Insight.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at BaptistMessenger.com.